Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters, and I usually have some elaborate, well-thought-out intro.
You know, Crystal, she brought the irony this episode, I think. She had heavy irony, probably lost on no one,
Well, the
but
interesting thing about Crystal is she's an enemy. She's a villain with no villainous plan.
no,
She
she needs one.
she's doing this. She has no motive and no tools to be a villain, yet she's the villain. And I really hate to say this. Other podcasts will go in this direction. I don't necessarily want to prescribe this interpretation onto her, but it's really like she's coming down from an alcohol and methamphetamine up. She's crashing and she's saying things that don't make sense, kind of like Charlie Sheen, you know? It creates these weird delusions and sort of strange ways of speaking, and then we saw in the previews for next episode that she like literally has been drinking all day. And we've had people in the past that drink all day, Corinne, and maybe we're on uppers, but there's some weird combination going on with her, and it's in stark contrast to some of the other girls that are spilling their guts. She's spilling her guts in a way that we're not used to seeing.
Well, I just want to kind of point out this that they're making her out to be the villain, but I really think that Crystal is just jealous and insecure and not vindictive. I feel
And
like she's too dumb to be mean
yes or
because,
no
like,
on the alcohol and methamphetamines?
no, well, see, you're judging her by her brother's actions. I don't know if he's.
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
sure, or her past, her her baggage from being a child. Does she do drugs? She looks kind of. She's the kind of person I know exactly what she'll look like when she's 50, because she has that face. She will transform all of a sudden, turn around and transform into this face. You're like, ah, that's. It's not about her glam shaming people. It's more about her slipping under the radar, which is the real villainous plan
Well,
to
EZR, how do
slip
we
under.
even like make sense of this? There's so much. I think our podcast, Bachelor Masters, does things a little differently. We don't go through it bit by bit, scene by scene, as most other podcasts do. We try to kind of get into a more tangential conversation with the episodic scenes as our guide. Where, I mean, where do we even start to scope out what this episode was really about?
Well, for if we're gonna do the big picture thing, I felt that at this point in most, if we're gonna go big picture, what happens on the fourth episode? Therefore, they've been there together a month. Obviously, in a month, you fall madly in love with. It's
Right.
very
'Cause he's
real.
given them so much to fall in love with.
Ari is so insincere that there's no clear front runner, which makes it even more exciting to watch
Okay.
because
Yeah.
I don't.
The no clear front runner is a really, really smart thing. And we're watching them travel into Lake Tahoe, the Hard Rock Casino and Hotel, which is a very interesting plug. I know Robin, who I watch the show with every week, we actually had pretty intense disagreement over how the various locations and restaurants and whatnot are booked, whether or not the show is looking for free places to film and the Hard Rock comes forward and says, film at us, and it's easy and that's done, or does the Hard Rock pay for them to be on the, to be in a location? Because the Hard Rock was so not what you would expect, and they're taking a big risk, right? It's like Hard Rock falls into this kind of weird touristy, I'm a American that likes to go to American places when I go abroad. It's odd for them to like buy into the Bachelor and become a romantic spot where you can have a hunting lodge kind of feel. So I don't know. I mean, the whole setup here is weird, and we're in Reno or East whatever Tahoe, and we're trying to make sense of Ari not saying anything or giving anything. And like you said, EZR, the girls are going gaga, but there's no one girl who has put herself in the front.
I mean, do you think he's the, I mean, I we'll address the weird you know, is the Hard Rock Cafe the last 90s holdout of gimmicky restaurants? But
it's the last action hero.
Yeah, Last Planet Hollywood of all. Is Ari just scoping out real estate meccas? Like, I saw an episode of Hoarders.
We went through this. We went through this last time. I don't think he has anything to do with it.
He is going to all the places where there is always real estate.
The Scottsdale location. The Hard Rock Cafe Scottsdale.
He's going to the Scottsdales of all these areas.
You're saying this feeds into the larger, I won't call it a conspiracy, but whatever the next step down is of Ari getting his real estate career on track after the show.
Yeah, I think it's his agenda of like, I've always, let's see what this is
like. So you think he's invested in the Hard Rock Cafe?
I love that.
Hard Rock Hunting Lodge.
I mean, the thing that really made me laugh was every time, or at least two times, I won't exaggerate, we come back from commercial break, they would have the scenic vistas of Lake Tahoe and a grizzly bear. The grizzly bear was always there. And then they would cut to Hard Rock Cafe, which to me, it was like, it is really beautiful nature and some of these really gorgeous, like, outdoor settings. And then the Hard Rock Cafe. And that always made me laugh because it was, like, the most natural and the most manufactured, like, side by side. Really, really funny.
And don't get me started. Hey, we're going to have a lovely daytime date on a ski boat.
Is that the parasailing?
I'm going to do what they just did. They're looking through the binoculars, and they can't tell if it's sailing or casailing or parasailing. Like, they don't know how to pronounce what it is that we're looking at, and I'm actually kind of in the same boat that they are. What is this? Like, but this is like what you do on The Bachelor. You do some aggressive sport kind of thing, and then you go out to dinner and spill your guts, which is why I think that the Bachelor Winter Games is going to do so awesomely well, because it's exactly this.
Right. And going on a first date and doing something really athletic that you, or maybe not really athletic, but something you've never done before that could be embarrassing, sounds really embarrassing. Like, they are in the air, and if you guys are seeing the same shot I'm seeing, they're kind of not even looking at each other because it's a little embarrassing. And then, you know, you have to get told what to do by the people.
Right.
Like, now that is something you do with someone you've been with for a long, I mean, according to me, if not, I get kind of embarrassed. Like, oh, you're this other person's telling
first
you to
date,
do something.
Good idea. Do you remember that, was it Animaniacs way back when we were kids? There was an animated show called Animaniacs. And they had Good Idea, Bad Idea.
Yeah. Animaniacs is on our unofficial sponsor, Hulu.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know that. That's good. Our unofficial sponsor, Hulu, has lots of really great shows from present and past. Animaniacs is one of those, I think, was not great. Like, I was more Darkwing Duck, Disney, Gummy Bears, kind of. I wasn't really into the Warner Brothers suite of mid-90s, like, high-level animated shows. But this Good Idea, Bad Idea thing they had was great. And it's something that I'll bastardize as Good Idea. Hanging off of a glider while in love. Bad Idea, hanging off a glider while on The Bachelor, or something like that. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, it's like the match.
Animaniacs is back for a new season on Hulu, everyone.
Are you serious?
It out. Yeah, they just picked it up as an original, so they're going to do a new season.
Anyway. Hulu's not Warner Brothers, is it?
I know. I don't know how it worked out. Huh. I think the something about the distribution rights for new, it's the way that Netflix was able to do like a new Arrested Development, these people picking up these old shows for new seasons, so it's just this new season.
Well, Disney buying 21st Century Fox means that the X-Men can now interact with the Marvel universe, right?
And yeah, hopefully they'll all be on The Bachelor too. Hopefully we'll have superheroes and X-Men all on the I guess X-Men are superheroes. Please.
I mean, I feel like I've completely
reneged
on my question, which is, how do we make sense of this all? Because we're all ready to, like, CN here acting beyond mature for a Bachelor show. She's, like, well-spoken and educated and mature and knows how to handle herself on camera, doesn't wear too much makeup, and is appropriately dressed. I mean, I could go on and on. I don't really know what to make of her because we've never seen anything quite like her.
Right. It does feel very methodical by Ari, honestly. It's just this feeling I get of he is not being sincere that he likes her. He just needs to push her forward a few more episodes. That's how I feel. This is completely we don't have any proof for anything, right? He's kissing everyone equally, right, and he's being gross and, you know.
And like you said, no one's come to the forefront, so he's still got to kind of figure out everyone anyway, right?
Yeah, I feel his insincerity with her for some reason. Like, he needs to push her forward because maybe, whatever reason, maybe he just needs that token person. That's how it feels. And that's how I feel about it.
I'm looking at what's going on here, and I just...
You've got to, Craig.
I mean, what's her name? Lauren, whatever, is leaving because her grandfather...
Mikkel.
Oh, sorry, Mikkel. I mean, her...
Mikkel.
Her grandfather would have wanted her to stay. Oh, she's one of the girls that's 13 years younger than Ari and is bitching about a 14-year younger than Ari girl. Is that right?
No, she kind of leaves early enough to not be in that mess, but I'm sure she would have. And she, you know, yeah. Wow, how lucky is it that she had a grandpa that lived into their... I didn't have any grandparents that lived until I was 20-something.
Exactly. I'm on the same page there, too.
People are going on and on in social media about the fact that she kept the roses that she received. But come on, that didn't surprise me one bit. What actually surprised me more is the fact that the ABC production team issued orange jacket did not match her personal orange luggage.
How do you know it looks real? It looks like
because they're all wearing that exact same orange jacket. Oh, in the next,
I didn't see that. It looks red on my TV.
They wear it under. They must have given them a little care package of warm clothes because they're all wearing it in various layers between their bottom layer and their top coat.
Oh, you've got a keen eye for the clothes.
Oh man, I was so tuned into this episode. Every little nuance I've got, that's just why I can't put it all together.
Well, what's there to put together? What's going on now, for example? What do you mean? I don't know what there's to put together.
I mean, they're at altitude, so they're all going to act a little wonky, I suppose, right?
They're dehydrated, probably.
Right, yeah, exactly.
A few years up in Utah at altitude, and I would throw up every time I was there on the first or second night. Yeah. So probably some of that's going on.
Yeah, altitude poisoning is a real thing.
Yeah.
I've been to Flagstaff.
Poisoning?
Yeah.
Well, we're getting to... This is the epic group date. They're reading... Well, she's going more gaga than anyone. She really... This is what I think is interesting about Bika. I have it on authority from a coworker that she has said she's not interested in acting. She moved to LA where people thought, oh, you're pursuing some kind of entertainment or acting career. And she said, no. But she is great, I gotta say. Because if I look at that like a scene, she nailed the facsimile of like, exactly. And you've brought up some great points in the past about that X factor, or however you want to call it.
I mean, she's America's sweetheart. She's the next Julia Roberts. It's just, can we just say that now?
She can just perform that's what I'll say. I'm not saying, regardless of what you think of her as a person, as a genuine person, just on camera, and she loves to perform for the camera, and she's very natural.
True. Yeah. That's so true. She has that, you know, she, especially when she hangs off of Ari and she kind of sing-songy talks to him.
Yeah.
That's so performance-y. I have a whatever people say about her not wanting to model or whatever, I have a feeling it's just kind of, you know, you can Instagram model. There's plenty of ways to make money. LA Magazine just came out with a weird article that was, how can you make $1 million a year if you've been on The Bachelor? And it was, I'll send it to you guys. Look it up, everyone else.
We'll retweet $1 million. At Bachelor Masters. Yeah. So, okay, well, hold on. I don't even know. I can't even. Look, here we have CN talking to Ari. I literally cannot stop laughing at every scene in this entire episode. It's just, I don't even know where to begin. Here we have a woman who is very attractive, and I would love to be at dinner with her because she seems very well-spoken and mature and has interesting things to talk about, and even brings up the fact that, black women have not been well-represented on things like reality television and, you know, romantic comedies or romantic movies and things like that. I think that's great. And Ari's literally just sitting there drinking his wine. Like, he just picked up a glass. Like, okay. Yeah.
Well, and, it's none of it's going in. It's like she's nothing. Saying it in a very.
It's not even something that SNL could pick up and do a skit on. It's like he's literally doing absolutely nothing, and the girls are just doing acting in front of him. I don't think we've ever seen it at this level before.
And ECR, I'd like to know your take on this too. But my read was like she. She seems like she's giving a very, watered-down version of, the way you might talk to, a child about some of the... she's not being so didactic with, issues of representation and things like that. But he still seems like he's, on his sippy cup with his, little apple juice. Like, he just can't be bothered to listen to this. This really cracked me up, too. I didn't know what to make of this. But, yeah, she's very well put together.
This was so strange because I would have... you guys are... I guess I never noticed that he does kind of take what people say and give it back to them, and that's just maybe him. But maybe in the bigger picture of the Bachelor franchise, they're trying to slowly get into race again, dip a little bit into the race issue, which is ridiculous. Because I would have pressed CN or in the later time press her about what love stories is she talking about, the girls that look like her, because if you're talking about TV and we're very similar in age, I mean, there's Fresh Prince, Cosby's, they're talking about cartoons. Is she looking for princess romantic love?
Right.
Is that where she
exactly. Well, that's, I think that's where it gets complicated.
It's not about
look at the examples of women of color in romantic roles of that age group. We have Aladdin. Right?
Yes.
You know, we have a different world. You know, it gets so super layered and complicated that, I mean, she's correct. I mean, I would bring it up too. This is her chance to stress these issues. But he has no capacity to understand this given what he's given us so far.
I think my bigger issue here is that I thought in the beginning of their date, he is keeping her around for those token issues. He cut everyone. She's definitely worthy of being around. I'm not saying she's not, but he is so attracted to other girls, and I didn't see that with him and CN. Like I said, it's just a feeling, and it's a criticism of her whatsoever. I like her. I just, she's probably too good for the show, but if I was on a real date, it's not about pressing them because I think she's wrong, but it would just be about conversation. I would like to know. I feel I had the same issues too. I'm not saying she's wrong. I feel plenty of times where I was watching whatever and I'm like, oh, they're blonde. I'm not blonde. Weird.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not true. It's definitely true. I just want, if he's really interested, why isn't he asking her more questions about it instead of just repeating it back?
Well, I think that's maybe on him, not her.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm saying pressed it because, or asked her more about it because he's interested, not because I'm challenging her.
Right.
Her perception of media.
Okay.
I think if I were to split the difference, as I am want to do here on hashtag Bachelor Masters, I would say that I think there is, I see what you mean, ECR. I feel like there's a cultural difference, as in like educational or some sort of like aspirational difference between the two of them that makes them a mismatch. So I see it's sort of that if I were to just put it in like my stupid basic talk for myself, it's like fanciness kind of thing, where she seems like effortlessly fancy and really poised, and I don't think he connects or wants to. He seems like, out of all of the contestants I've seen so far, he wants to make the least effort to try to connect with anyone. So that's why when we see anyone get flustered, as with the person who he picked the roses up and then cut her because she was being like too vulnerable.
Or a bee or whatever.
He has like no patience for any sort of thing that he can immediately connect to. So with Cien, I do get a little bit of that discomfort where I think he wants to seem like, oh, well, I'm sophisticated.
Couldn't. I mean, he literally was put into a corner, whether or not she was doing, I mean, she was, there's no way she was doing it intentionally, but
no,
she
I don't,
put him in a position where he could not cut her.
I know we've said, the internet or speculators in the past kind of compared Cien to emotional intelligence, and I think the difference
is... No, I don't think that's the key at all.
Exactly. They're both maybe educated.
Right.
I guess it's just the that most she brought up race,
but no fault to her own. I would have brought it up, over a romantic dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And, but he, absolutely. It's like, what is he going to do, cut her after she brings up... race and romantic,
but I think that she makes him feel like he has to play a role, which he's never comfortable doing. But you're right, he couldn't cut someone like that, but that's where I see the discomfort, is like he has to go out of his comfort zone.
Well, this makes me think, because there's okay, let's take person A, who's very intelligent, has a high IQ, and person B, who's very dumb and has a low IQ, and put them in a situation where someone like Cien brings up race and, you know, romance, you know, all the things that we talked about, how she brings up, you know, romantic roles, not being well represented in media. The very smart person A would probably drink wine and not say anything. And the very dumb person B would probably drink wine and not say anything, right? So we don't know. We have no idea. Yeah. This has given us nothing to further our understanding of Ari.
You know, that's not what I thought you were going to say, but that's a great, that's not a bad way of putting it. I don't know if I disagree.
Yeah, that's totally, I just want to clarify, I originally compared Cien to emotional intelligence when I heard her talk for 15 seconds, because her
I didn't remember you had done that, by the way.
Sorry
about that.
No, it's not a big deal, because I didn't know who she was and I didn't know anything about her. The first 15 seconds, she just said, I went to Yale, which seemed very absolutely emotionally intelligent-y of her to kind of reference her education as, look at me, I'm better. But she's acting way better, way more classy, way more restraint than, I mean, she's not been in any of the drama. She's not even called out Kent, said anything about
Crystal.
Anybody.
Crystal. Yeah.
And so it was just a she went to Yale, but she is a commercial real estate manager.
Yeah, but that's a job you would have. I've thought a lot about this. It's like a lot of these people in The Bachelor don't go to college, and they have jobs that may or may not reflect that. But when you go to college, I mean, there's jobs that you have, and commercial real estate manager is one of them. And that's why I personally get really uncomfortable around the whole job, what's your job kind of thing, you know? Especially with the millennials, it's so fluid.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it does crack me up. I think we've talked about that in the past, how many job titles they have to, you know, fake for various states.
I mean, if you asked me what my job was, I couldn't even begin to tell you what to put on the marquee.
Well, this is kind of a cultural change too. I think in the last 10 years especially, it's not just a particular age group or anything. It's like this gig economy where a lot of people don't have like a job title.
Right?
Exactly. I think that's so
whatever, the real estate manager, that's, you know, when you own a condo and you need someone to change, you know, fix the elevator, that's who you call, and that's not an unimportant job.
Right. But it's commercial, which means that, you know, if you own a store in a big
shopping mall.
Shop, yeah, or whatever the outdoor shopping malls, the
which could be
the ones
that
face out now, not
million-dollar enterprise. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's a bad job. I'm just wondering more about her life, and she's kind just because she came off initially as kind of talking about that, and then she stopped. Well,
with all of this crazy cluster F going on in front of us, I can't believe we're dwelling on CN this long.
Are we looking at the outdoor?
I mean, there's a snowstorm going on with women literally melting down, and one of them using a compass as a mirror.
I love Brittany's face. She's just like, if these girls, she gets put in like a strange group of women, and you know, Jenna's the real Kendall. Jenna's.
What do you mean?
The way they want to put Kendall is who Jenna really is. She's the one collecting rocks. She just starts collecting strange rocks. She's Kendall plus Becca, the second cat, rolled into one. And they have not given her. They have not given her a storyline.
I don't understand why I was put on this team and have to sit in a hot tub.
Wait, that's Crystal. We're talking about. Yeah. The unknown Jenna.
I'm melting down. I really have no idea what to make
Craig's,
of this at this
Craig's
point.
Craig's just getting ready for his future Oscar-nominated role as Crystal. He sounds like Gary Oldman and as Winston Churchill in Darkest Hour.
It's like I think it's Craig. Like, how many like bikini companies can advertise in one shot?
They come in waves now. They're all in their bikinis. She's like, and they get a lot of shots.
I don't understand why I have to share Ari with three other girls.
ECR, it's a transition here. Now Craig's voice impersonation is appropriate because we do see Crystal, right?
Right, yes.
With Ari.
And Ari makes a huge bachelor faux pas. You never pick one girl.
No, you don't.
You don't even pick all the girls. You pick no girls. You
can
play.
Can I borrow you?
And now I realize this is unfair to, you know, whoever the woman is in this situation. Because you're right, Ari has responsibility. But Crystal, I don't understand why she doesn't realize all you need is one friend to really stay alive and stay viable. Everyone who's in her position has one friend that they can use against other people. She has no friends.
That is a great point you made on your post. Chris has a blog post. He posts every.
You can see it on Bachelor Masters.
The only
Facebook
thing I blog. Yeah.
And it's such a good point, but that even backs up what I think. I think it backs up my point that Crystal is not trying to be a villain. She's not. She's too dumb to be that mean, because she doesn't understand when you're a villain, you poke someone and you go and hide. You instigate stuff, and someone might catch you, but they might look like the instigator themselves for pointing it out. You have a very laid out tactic. If you're
a
villain.
It's a great point. Yeah, I think you're right that maybe she really buys into the psychology and. I don't know. It's why I feel a little bit bad, especially if she weren't on reality TV, that, you know, she seems like she could be a wounded person. She really has this, you know, this brother who's on the streets, and maybe she's dealing with some things herself, and she might be melting down. But on the other hand, I have that attitude where it's like, you're going on this show, you got to know the game.
Let's talk about that, because that's what really confuses me here. We have 22 seasons of Bachelor and whatever, like 13 of The Bachelorette. And we've talked at length about how all of these women and men have grown up with the show and know exactly how it works. So, you know, every character, even... I mean, I'm just looking at all these women whose names I can't remember. They all, you know, have their faults, but they all at least understand the proper etiquette of how the show works and how to address the camera when you're in, like, these confessionals. But Crystal doesn't get it. she started off getting it, but she's lost the ability to get that. And that's why at the beginning of the our podcast, I thought maybe she was coming down from sort of some sort of alcohol-fueled episode, because why would you be so unattuned to all of the languages of the Bachelor that you've been grown up to understand and reciprocate to the camera?
And maybe that's to ECR's point, right? That she's just not.
She's so...
I mean, that's tone deaf to a beyond tone deaf.
If you are someone who is rejected by your mother and your father, it seems, and you go on a show and appear so desperate and needy, and your real insecurities come out because your jealousy is based in your insecurity, and it just, you get exposed and you get
I don't think this is right, because we've gotten, we're post reality TV with The Bachelor. They don't cast people who have never seen reality TV. They can only cast people that have watched The Bachelor.
But don't you think it's possible that she may have internalized it, like other seasons of The Bachelor, in such a different way? So she thinks she knows it, and she's performing it correctly, but
it's okay. So not her own ontology of the Bachelor, she's acting out in front of the camera.
These other things, like what we see as having these layers, she might not see it as having these layers, and it's like, oh, here are these really earnest but people.
You're her, and you're sitting in front of the camera. Why would, no matter what ontology you've built around The Bachelor and its mythology, you cannot sit there and say, I think he loves me and doesn't love anyone else, and I'm the only one that matters. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't compute on any.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, ECR, you're more informed with some of these issues than I am, so I wanted to hand it over to you after I say this. But in my relatively uninformed position, I would say when people... We've all used the word insecure to describe her at different points, and I would reiterate that and agree. And I think something insecure people will do is when you, even if subconsciously, know a weakness about yourself that someone else might point out, you know, you just put that, you like project that on other people. And she does that all the time this episode, where she is describing other people as exhibiting exactly what she's exhibiting.
Yes.
So to me, that's like, that's showing kind of like the mental state, like the breakdown she's starting to have, is she kind of knows, even if it's just like on an instinctual level, something's wrong, but she's trying to accuse other people of having that behavior, not herself.
Yes, the projection is insane. But Craig, I just want to give you an example. Do you have anyone in your life that you go, that before you see them, because you've had so many fights or whatever it is with them, you go, okay, I'm not going to do this because that will instigate them.
We don't want to go into the past lives of Craig here. But
you don't have to say, you don't have to give it.
Look, okay. I have a good reply to this. So remember a couple seasons ago, the woman with the shorter hair who said, I'm up here and you're down here, and got left by a helicopter on the desert dunes, and now she lives in France.
Olivia?
No, not Olivia. This was like she had a master's degree from Johns Hopkins or something. She said, I'm up here, you're down here. That like literally put the line in the sand and said, if you go that far, we're going to take it that far and show you. She had to have watched that. All of these people watch that show, and how can you sit in front of a camera, dumb or smart, insecure or not secure, and say the things that she said? She's saying,
Crystal. Maybe.
Sorry, it's because, Craig, let's just take her as a person. She gets, let's use a buzzword, triggered every time she feels insecure to project and to kind of feel she has ownership over somebody because of her, she protects her prize, her man, whatever. And even if she tells herself before she went on the show, you're fine, you're collected, you are now, she seems like she wants, she's one of these crystal spiritual people. When I say crystals, I mean like crystals, like she uses crystals, kind of spiritual people. She did all these things and she went on the show and she went right back into her old habits of things she was maybe trying to not do. Because the first night she did kind of have a moment where she cleared her mind. She was like, nope, nope, not going to fall into it. And now here she is, week four, completely have fallen into the hole of probably all her insecurities and her, you know, the hell that is her mind of projecting onto other people, being super clingy and desperate with the guy she's trying to win over. She needs help to clear her mind. And she probably promised herself she wasn't going to do it. And then she does it anyways because
I'm willing to give you the I don't want to do it, I'm going to, but I do it anyway. But yeah. I guess I'm trying to push this into a level of like these people have been conditioned from day one of watching The Bachelor what to do and what not to do. And but her behavior is inconsistent with that.
I just don't know what the alternate, you know, hypothesis would be. To me, it's like, ECR, what you're suggesting is the simplest, so probably the most true, you know? It's like... It just seems most likely to me. I don't know what do you. How else would you describe it, Craig?
I mean, I think ultimately I defer to Easier. I think she's got the more, intelligent read on this. I think I guess it's more of a cultural versus, I guess, individual. If we try to figure out where these intentions come from, I think that somebody who watches The Bachelor like these women do all their life are incapable of doing X, Y, and Z. And I think EZR is saying, like, it doesn't matter. You're going to do X, Y, and Z independent of whether or not you watch The Bachelor.
Right. Your at-home conditioning is going to train you more than your media conditioning will. Right. You know, you can...
I'll tell every media studies professor I know exactly what the conclusions that we've come up with.
Well, I mean, okay, if your at-home life overrides, if your at-home life is so horrible or so super supportive that it overrides any kind of media influence, which is true of a lot of people who change media, right? Like right. you... Or who can ignore media. I'm not saying it's not influential. I'm saying that you can regress to things that have happened. If Crystal's telling us over weeks that her family life had no love and her brother's a drug addict, she's not far from that.
Right.
It means she's completely not okay mentally. Stability. She has no stability.
To that point, I don't think it's inconceivable that she could have gaps and, you know, be aware of, like, the Bachelor franchise, which, like, I've been aware of my whole life, but I haven't seen any of it until the last few years, so I might not know some of these specific episodes, so I could see someone right. who sort of is...
You have to be really well-studied to really get The Bachelor, and we've seen that from time to time, but probably most people on the show think they know, but probably don't know the full breadth of what makes you look bad.
Because I would think to get to this level, for most people, maybe some of the very young or people who just have whatever can come onto the show. But for a lot of people, you got to be working hard at these other things in your life that you might not.
Right.
You might not like see a lot of TV or anything because you're.
Well, I think whatever, we thought Instagram. You know. I think there's always going to be that left holder. Left over. That's not the word I'm looking for. Laid over?
Holdover?
Holdover. Yeah, holdover. Holdover woman that like is in it for the right reasons. You get maybe one or two of them a season who may, you know, have seen the show but are really into it and want to find love. And they get weeded out pretty quickly. But, you know, maybe CN was part of that. Maybe who's the woman that you think is the new villain, Chris?
Chelsea.
She could be in it for the right reasons. But then you have a layer of women who have watched the show probably their whole life, but really haven't thought critically about it. And that's your crystals. And then you have the women who have only watched The Bachelor, and that's what they think about 100% of their life, and that's Tia, a.k.a. Raven 2.0. Yeah.
But I hate to bring up another show. I think it's important, but the show Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is really good. I think it's so good because it actually takes apart this trope that women go and find love and then they're fixed. And she goes, she's covering up her real life insecurities with trying to get somebody or trying to make sure she's married. And it's so damaging because there are women that are put together ready to get married, and that's encouraging. But there are women who are like, I'm ready. I'm 25. I have my own career, but they're hiding a lot of past traumas, and they're not mentally ready. And that's the great part about that.
Right. Show and a good ABC casting agent will be able to weed that out and select those people to be on the show. I mean, did I say this at the beginning of the podcast? If I didn't, I apologize. I wanted to, which is whoever chose Crystal, I hope, is the VP of corporate recruitment at Disney now. You know, because like, you want to talk about a perfect person to put on the show. My God.
Maybe. Yeah.
I just wanted to really quickly say, because I feel like the date's going to end and we're not going to see it. Lauren S., the last Lauren standing, is kind of slipping under our radar, but she and Ari have a hot thing going. I mean, Ari has a hot thing going with a few ladies, but this is one that
Blonde?
Yeah, the blonde.
they kind of meet for a second, 20. But they have it going on, but we don't see her again, right?
Right, I couldn't pick her out of a bunch of brunettes. Honestly, I don't even know what she looks like. But
But this is Tia.
She seems.
We're looking.
He's with Tia right now.
Right.
But Lauren, he seems to really like. Yes.
I'm so confused.
Lauren S. The last Lauren.
Okay.
Is
well, while we're on the topic, does Tia really have a chance?
Yes.
You think?
I think she does.
Except. Really? For the fact that he set up that he set up like a hoedown thing at the last rose ceremony, if you guys remember, like a what are they called, like stacks, like a square of hay and then some moonshine. That seems like
that's a hoedown. Yeah,
or whatever. I mean, yes, what's it called? What did I say?
Hoedown.
I don't.
You said hoedown. I said
remember
hoedown.
That was funny because he stole that from Bibiana.
Oh no, that she set up a bed with a telescope. He set up for Tia a stack of hay with moonshine as a cutesy thing to do. Classic. And as we know, when men do something for the Bachelor of Bachelor does something for contestants, it's kind of a big deal. So I thought that was I thought that was out of the ordinary, and I thought that was shocking. That he would do something for one of them. And here comes his over-gestated hands. They really gross me out whenever I see him.
I'm going to try something we've never done on Bachelor Masters before. I'm going to try to play some music here. Did that work?
Yeah, is that for Tia? Lovely.
That's from Simpsons, yeah. Yeah.
That's for Tia. Yeah, when
Cletus I always wish I could play
bluegrass. Throws the shoes over.
I would love to be like that the violin player that just goes. I mean, that music is so attractive to me, and the Simpsons just nailed it with that. But they nailed a lot of things back in the day before they jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you'd appreciate this. I was watching old Simpsons the other day on FX or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was an episode where it was the day in the life. It was like some rant, you know, just a day. But it was from every time they come back from commercial, it was a different perspective. So one, it was Homer, then it was Marge, then it was Bart and Lisa. And yeah. Lisa's objective is she had to get her project to the science fair. And she would kept she kept trying to run, and they would pull the music from Run Lola Run, the techno music. But yeah. she would kept getting caught up. Like, she'd be like, but then she'd get stopped. It's like...
So it was Run Lisa Run. They literally did Run Lola Run.
Yeah, but she, like, Run Lola Run would actually run. Lisa would start running, but then, like, she'd get caught up, like... Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about, right? Completely lost my train of thought.
Well, we were talking about Crystal. I don't know what the bottom line is. I never know what the bottom line is for anything. But, you know, I think that to an earlier point we brought up about there being no front runner, that's really true, because I think even the people Ari seems to like, it's like he pushes them to fail, even if he doesn't mean to. Right?
To fail? I'm sorry, to pushes them to...
Maybe it's because he doesn't obviously couple with anyone, but it's like... whether it's Crystal, who he couples with unintentionally and draws enemy fire from other people, right?
Right.
Or Becca Bika, who he likes without questioning her age, and that draws criticism from... it's almost like he pulls something out of from the group dynamic that also encourages everyone to fail.
I see. Well, that totally makes sense. So here we are. Oh my God, Craig. I'm not running music.
I think this is what we were looking for the whole time. This
yeah,
is
this
it.
Is the, but we're not in cartoon form.
No, it's true.
Good point.
It kind of makes the podcast a little bit more like energetic, though, don't you think? Like, what if we had this in the background every podcast?
It's like a Michael Bay movie suddenly.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
every podcast.
Dude.
What I was gonna say was that Becca, she would. Except for the age thing, I really think she's the front runner in everyone's hearts because everyone recognizes the thing. Ari doesn't necessarily, like we said, he's insincere, so he doesn't seem to have a front runner. But this is the classic, like the classic Seinfeld story. And I don't mean Seinfeld the show, I mean Seinfeld the person. If you guys have ever heard how he met his wife, it was super strange.
Right.
Yeah.
He like stole.
It got me thinking about
from someone's honeymoon, right, or something.
Yeah, it was his now wife was a photographer, had just gotten married 4 days before, was taking pictures of him as a photographer, and he asked her out on a date, and she immediately, despite her just having gotten married 4 days ago, went or got an annulment. And now they're happily married with three kids.
Right.
My point of bringing this up is that when men are the bachelors and there's that one girl with the it factor, they can rarely resist it. It doesn't matter if they're good
so
for each other. It doesn't matter.
You're saying
that
this is Bika? He can't resist?
No, I'm saying that because he's insincere, you can't tell who he likes best. Mm. But most men, the bachelors, have not been able to resist that.
Well, let's talk about irresistibility in women. I think we have a good panel here between me and Chris on who is irresistible. I mean, Ari hasn't shown any indication, and that's like such a brilliant observation, EZR. But at the same time, he has people that he... at least on camera, is more sexually compatible with than others. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. And Bika is one of them.
Yes. I do think I've seen it just as, like you said, with others too, that surprised me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is dangerous territory because...
No, go ahead.
I'm Ari's age. I honestly have trouble with Bika as a sexual object. She seems very... I don't know. It's like... I don't want to implicate him for thinking she's attractive. And if I was in the same hot tub with champagne overlooking Lake Tahoe from the Nevada side, I probably would not say these same words. But from a third-person television perspective, it's creepy. It's creepy. Mm. And she doesn't have curves like a more mature, developed woman has, but that's a very curvy, shaming view of it, because she's 22 and she should be developed in that way.
Not
all women have to be curvy to be attractive. So it's like this is layers upon layers of complicated, not knowing how to talk about this.
Isn't that the first time he kind of said something about him, though, too? So despite her age, there seems to be something there, because he actually talks about, she says, what's that scar? And he's like, oh, this is the story of this one time I bought a racetrack and I drove this car. And at least that's something of a divulgement of his life.
Well, he clearly likes her. No doubt about that.
Well, you know, when she comes up right now, when they're on their date, she does look like three toddlers in a fur coat stacked on top of each other.
I know, and I think that's what we're all thinking. But how do we... Okay, here we go. How do we say Bika is young and boyish without shaming young, boyish-looking women?
Well, I don't think, you know... Oh, there's that bassy sound again. I don't know where that came from. That might have been in my head, but I don't think it's only her looks. We've talked in the past about, as much as I do think all of these things that she has make her have this star it factor, in my opinion, especially like from the cultural view of the States. You know, I would if I were casting a movie, I would try and cast her.
Oh.
But
without a doubt,
but at the same time, that doesn't take away from the fact that she seems like she tries to act older than she is, which accentuates to me like how young she is. She has these, like you said, young, almost like tomboyish, boyish features. Some of these things that make it seem like, and we're in this cultural moment where we're really sensitive to these things too.
Okay, so let's just do it like this. Yes or no? Would you move in with Bika? Yes or no? Chris?
Yeah, probably.
EZR.
Am I a boy in this situation, or am I lesbian, or am I a friend?
We're not using gender Ari. As a...
Oh, yeah. I can be Ari. I mean, yeah. No. Okay. If I'm she's not the type of person I'm looking for, because she does seem to me a little putting on a show. Yeah.
I can't believe I'm going to say this. I think if any of my ex-girlfriends or acquaintances are listening, which could be a lot. I don't know. I don't know who's listening. We don't get that kind of metric. They're going to laugh. But I would say I would not move in with her. She's too young. She's too... Craig. 22, that's different. It's too much. It's too much.
Craig, what you're saying is basically that she looks 13 to you because she isn't, has her baby fat because of all the little things we've mentioned all along.
She looks different than the other women. I give you that, but that's not her fault. Like, what's her name?
Yeah,
Audrey Hepburn looked different than all other movie stars of her era, and that's what made her marketable.
Like, but she was starving when she was young. That's why she was so small.
Well, I know. It's very lots of controversy, but like
very sad.
But that was like a literal decision by the studios to go with another direction, and so like she doesn't have that busty, I don't know what you want to call it, like Baywatchy kind of like look. And mm-hmm. So, but she's so gaga eyed that I think I would get really confused, and I just would become uninterested very quickly, just based on her just sort of excitement over the little things. Because I think Ari is right to point that, like, his interests are different.
Yes, he does say things when you get older get a little bit more boring, and you are not at that stage yet. Now, do you think that The Bachelor, I'm not trying to take away from the conversation you're having, but is The Bachelor as a franchise going to go into direction now?
This is where we have Nick Vale to think, because he outed the fantasy suites. He's going to keep her around to the top three so he can bang her in the fantasy suite, which is the last time he's going to have a girl of this age. I mean, that is absolute fact. And that's what people, whether it's a bachelor or a bachelorette, strategize about when they think about who they're going to keep around in the top three. The top three is not the best top three. It's the ones you want to bang because you won't have a chance with them again, plus the one you want to actually end up with.
Guys have a different, you guys have a different strategy. Who knows what breakdown she has later in her, that prairie top. But I don't.
Was she in Green Acres?
I wonder if it's going to be like the times when I buy a really great, let's say, dress that I love the way it looks, but then when I go and see something similar to it, I'll buy it anyways and not like it as much, but I think to myself, why did I buy it? Oh, because it looks like the first one. Maybe The Bachelor will go into that direction of, oh, let's get a bunch of these kinds of girls, but that is not the appeal of Bika. It's the actual, her whole demeanor of kind of the, like we said, pixie manic dream girl, plus the young, you know, all the factors that go in are make her should be unique, not us want to go that way.
All right, the hoedown.
Yeah, I think that Bika had the line in the past about her, and I kind of laughed at it at the time, but the, you like me because I'm dangerous for you, right, or something like that, which, yeah, I think maybe I won't laugh at now. I don't think that either herself or Ari really understand that, but based on what you're both saying, maybe it's true, because I do think, yeah, she is very performative, and I agree that I was answering your question kind of instinctually before, Craig, about, like, moving in. Right. I don't know if that would be healthy, because I do think she would also, like, she's looking to, like, devour.
Right.
Not in a bad way, necessarily. It might be kind of like a young youth and her, right, kind of vibe thing, but it's like, I think she would become bored with whoever was content with her right away, too. Mm. It's like, just my perception, but I think that, yeah, I don't think it would be like the best relationship, but again, she might be a great performer for that reason. Hey, what's going on
inside? Yeah.
Hey, Brandy, and Dean, you might could wear these to your job interview.
And scuff up the topless dancing, my boy? No, you best bring them back where from you got them.
Okay. Back you go to wait for a woman of less discriminating taste.
You have no idea the memories this brings back, man.
Yeah, it's from Pulp Fiction Simpson episode, right?
Yeah, actually it was. Yeah, where it was like all these different things. I mean,
I'm glad you correctly identified that ECR.
I mean, I just,
I was wondering.
I mean, I you know, when you're depressed and you're 20 or you're 22, back then you could depend on The Simpsons. You know, now, what is it? There's no, like, Rick and Morty, maybe. There's no, like, absolute go-to show like there was with The Simpsons, where you could just, every episode was just automatic. And maybe that's why we're so hard on Bika, is that she's from this lost generation where, you know, where do her allegiances lie? We don't know.
You know, we don't. That's very deep, Craig. Oh, for I know. Someone that we, but I was gonna. We don't know anything about her. She was saying her parents were married young. Her sister was married young. I think she is the fiery Latina they were actually talking about, and could not be, yeah. Viviana.
Correctly recognized, she's actually Latina.
Is that correct? Were you asking that as a question or as a statement?
No, isn't her last name Latina?
Her last name is...
We're going to put music on our podcast from now on. Here we go.
ECR, you love this, don't you?
Yeah.
But she's Latina, is she not? Like, her last name is Sanchez or something? Or
her last name is Martinez.
Martinez, okay. All
right. Well,
we're just going to have a raid for the rest of the episode here. I mean, this just shows...
Right, well...
It just shows you how, like, utterly, like, I just don't get, the show has gotten to a level where I have difficulty getting my brain to comprehend it as a 2-hour entity. I think I said that at the beginning of the podcast. Yeah.
Well, although we do have this season, I think, and maybe this goes to your point, ECR, about there being no front runners. It's been a little bit longer, I think, to get to some of these, like, stories, the narratives that we can expect. But I feel like starting with the preview for next episode, Crystal is a definite through line. It looks like she doesn't care at all next week. Right. Like, she is having some meltdown where she's, like, drinking and, you know, mouthing off to Ari and stuff. It feels like we're getting enough people eliminated and enough main players where it's like, I think part of this season, because I agree, I've been having a little bit of a hard time, other than the big obvious things that they signpost to us, like Crystal is crazy, Bika is young, other things, it's hard for me to be like, well, what am I really going to grab onto here?
Right.
But we're starting to get to that point in this season. So I don't disagree. It's a little hard for me to like parse what's important in these episodes so far, right. But yeah,
I hate to bring this back again, but the Bachelor or Bachelorette sets the tone for all the contestants, and whether it's fake or not, or whether it's manufactured, who stays and who goes and who's the villain, there is always this, you can feel the authenticity. And I've seen a lot of people who are taking a break from The Bachelor this season,
yeah,
because they don't feel the authenticity of Ari, okay. And that shows in the contestants, and they reciprocate and see this as an opportunity, except for people who are very lost in what The Bachelor means, like Crystal. But right. That's how it feels.
Well, you bring up a really good point. The I've actually, in talking to people that I've been trying to promote our podcast to, that this season seems different. And, you know, at some point they'll jump the shark and they'll have to think about what the future of the franchise is, right? And believe me, it's not Winter Games. But that said, it's, I don't know. It's something about when you look at Ari and you think to yourself, what are we watching? We're watching people trying to vie for his attention. And honestly, I think it's Bika that really mixes this up, because we've never quite had a character like her where we think, I could date her. She's weird. She's pixie dream girl. She's not. She's stoic. She's well brought up. I mean, she has all these different registers to her that she kind of throws the whole... usual metric of, you know, the show and the usual progression of the show up. So I don't want to put too much weight on her as somebody that's making me rethink what it is that we're trying to critique. But at the same time, Ari's interaction with her seems to maybe represent what we're all maybe trying to get out of this. I don't know. Does that make any sense? No.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was silently waiting for your comment, UCR.
No. Craig.
And I can edit this so it makes more sense, but let me rephrase. So, Bika Beeka and Ari represent it. Okay, this season seems to be getting people to be less interested than past seasons. I think we can agree with that. And maybe Beeka and Ari represent that reason that it's less interesting. Can we agree on that?
Why would
Beeka and Ari?
Beeka's and Ari's relationship make it less interesting.
I don't know. I mean, you said that less people seem interested in this season than last season's, and I'm trying to come up with a microcosm as to why that might be. And Beeka and Ari seem to maybe be that representative microcosm of the show as a whole.
I mean, I think that the editors are trying to string together these narratives out of these nothing kind of things that have happened, but they got really lucky in casting or her coming to them and finding someone like
so
her
you
to
think
kind of take
nothing,
over the show.
You think there's nothing between Ari and any of them?
No, I think there's a lot of sexual tension.
No, I don't think now that I think of it, maybe there's nothing anywhere. Like, maybe that's the angst that you, me, and Chris are having, is that there's really nothing here at all.
I think there's.
I mean, he cuts Carolyn, right? Yes. I thought Carolyn was going to win the damn thing, and she gets cut.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of sex. I don't think he's a long-term, like Jeff.
No, well, I don't want to indict him. Again, I think that I feel like that's the fifth time I said I don't want to indict him. It's not his fault. Well, maybe
who, Ari.
Yeah, Ari. I mean,
yeah, because I think we'd have to know what his personality is.
Hey, Chris.
Inside, yeah.
Say what you did again. You broke up.
Okay. Oh yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Isir.
No, I was just going to say, I was extremely, when they picked Ben Higgins to be the Bachelor, this was like a year or two ago, 2 years ago, I was so annoyed and bored just thinking about how milquetoast this guy is, but he was really there to find a girlfriend. I do believe that. So in that way, it was a sincere, he's a boring dude, okay. There's nothing exciting about him, but he was sincere.
No. You brought up the sincere thing a lot. And yeah. I know you want us to argue more easier, so here it is. I'm going to argue with you. Is he good looking or not? Yes or
Ari?
No? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Is he interesting or not? Yes or no?
Yes. I do think he is. I think he's in real life.
Okay, so what's the problem? What honestly, what is the problem here? We're going on and on about all these like relationships he has. Maybe the fact that he doesn't have a front runner is actually like a breakthrough in this whole freaking franchise. He's desirable. He has women suitors. This is exactly what The Bachelor was supposed to be.
What if I said, what if I put a piece of paper in front of you and said, oh, write me an essay, both you guys, whoever finishes first and does the best one gets to get a prize. But then the whole time it's not true. You know, they're competing for somebody that doesn't – that. They're competing for this final thing that you know isn't going to happen.
Well, I
they're
will agree with that. Married. Like this, they're this not, like good looking,
people
looks
feel like
good
it's a waste
in a suit, well spoken, well soft, I should say, soft spoken dude, does conflict with a man that lives in Scottsdale, Arizona. I mean, to me, as if I were a woman, that's the last place on earth I would look for a dude is Scottsdale. So
doesn't he say that Scottsdale has it all or something in this episode?
Everyone that lives in Arizona thinks Arizona has it all, but they only think that because there's the low taxes and easy access to carry permits or whatever. No,
it made me laugh.
Let me extend that. Anyone that doesn't live in a beautiful place thinks that will defend that they don't live in a beautiful place, and I say that as someone who lived in Iowa for 8 years. It's like, dude, Sioux Falls, South Dakota is the most awesome place. We have X, Y, and Z. All right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, that's possibly true.
So, whatever. Scottsdale falls into that category. But it's like, okay, so I think I see what EZR is saying. It's like, if you were to write an essay, that essay would be different than what the actual essay of Ari is.
I guess, what if you're in class and someone tells you to do it, but you know the teacher's going to throw it away and not even look at it. Would you have, this is what people feel who are watching the show, women who invest their time and think they're looking at a growing relationship. Now, I don't watch it for those reasons. I watch it for the human interactions that happen, whether it's female to female or male to female, or even big picture groups, or even the franchise as a whole, as like a huge zeitgeist of the world. But I am interested in that, whereas other people want to see a two people love story and people fall away in the way that they do in a dramatic fashion. That's what people feel that they're being cheated out of.
Well, then maybe you agree with this, because I hate to contradict myself and what we were kind of arguing for earlier with Crystal. But I guess we get back to this conversation we've had about Ari and his sincerity before, where I go back to kind of agreeing with Craig on this, where it's like, I don't know if I really care that an insincere bachelor is the contestant, because I would think is the bachelor, because if you go on the show, you've got to realize that that's a possibility, right? Like, as a woman on The Bachelor, or a man on The Bachelorette, they might not care about you and you might not have a relationship at the end, but you're trying to, like, rep your Instagram thing or, you know, like, up your personal brand.
I mean, I want to think that we, like, this can go in cycles. Like, it started off sincere men of, you know, stature courting women, and then the women be the bachelorette courting men, and then it went kind of turned to Instagram fame, and then we got like Nick Vale, who had literally nothing to offer, right? And then they figured that out and came back around, right? Like, I want to think this works in that cyclical fashion, and Ari, you know, is getting us back to that, like, because seriousness. His dad won the Indy 500. He's the successful real estate person.
Wait, but isn't the...
Me, I guess the reason I come down being of a different opinion about, like, how sincere a contestant or the bachelor or bachelorette is, if someone goes in completely earnest, I distrust that more than, like, someone who's cynical. I hate to say it, but on reality show, in this setting, it's sort of like if you go in and you're completely wide-eyed and looking for a relationship, I think that's stupid. Not ironically, I really do think that's stupid. I think that that's a recipe for failure and you have some malfunction. That doesn't mean I think you're a worthless person or anything. You know, I don't want to be, like, completely mean-spirited about it, but I think that's where I get to this thing where it's like people who play the game or have these other motives, I don't think is a bad thing, because I think it's not a good idea to go in thinking you're going to have a meaningful, monogamous, long-term relationship on reality TV.
Well, okay, I guess disinterested is the wrong word, but I feel like we're always kind of alluding to this void in the show that isn't that isn't always felt, that isn't, that we sometimes are able to kind of, you know, where that void on the normal, let's just say normal means they're sincere, on a regular normal season of The Bachelor, that void is filled with all this horrible, you know, drama and these real feelings and these tears, whereas now we're alluding to this thing that we kind of feel is an empty feeling. I don't know if it's disinterest or if it's kind of a waning feeling. That's how it feels. I don't know. That's where
Ari's a bit of a blank. I know what you mean there.
I think what he's doing is what we mentioned last episode, which is he's that kind of guy that stays silent and pulls those things out of you that you don't normally want to say. Like, we've, you know, you're at a dinner and you're talking to somebody who doesn't talk, and it prompts you to say things you wouldn't normally say. And I think he's doing that on a national level. He is pulling us out to say things we don't normally want to say.
He's playing five-dimensional chess here.
I mean, I've gotten deep on some levels that I never would have thought an hour and a half ago I would have, like, even...
It is Tia, isn't it? Raven 2.0.
She could be the one that makes it through. Who knows?
Likes her.
I don't know what to think anymore.
He likes her. He likes Lauren S. He likes Chelsea. It's all a big mystery.
It is.
Those people that we're whatever with.
He's keeping us in the dark like no other Bachelor has in recent memory. That's for sure.
He's, you know, this is the age of Trump. It's a chaotic, terrifying age. And this is the Bachelor we get.
Is this the first Bachelor Universe series in Trump era?
Well,
was Nick and Trump or no?
Yes, Nick was exactly a year ago. Okay. So yes, but yeah. It was a strange.
Yeah,
I feel like they were disconnected lives.
All right. Well, for all of our listeners, I apologize. We'll do better next time.
Fine.
I'm hitting stop. This is it.
What? No more glam shaming. Oh.